Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTV comes from Truvy Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvy Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvy Salon and Spa at their website, TruvySalonAndSpa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the homemade broadcast episode 457 live stream and podcast now. Welcome. Let me turn off the music here. And let's get Anna Hummel in here. Hello, Anna.
Oh, what's up?
What up? What up? How's it going? How are you?
I'm doing okay. I don't know if you've had one of these situations before, but I was at the gym and I just was not feeling it. I did not want to be there. And so I just got off the Stairmaster and went into the sauna and just fell asleep. My workout.
Now, that's dangerous.
Yeah, well, it is, and it is, obviously, but you never really, like, fully out because you're kind of uncomfortable because it's so hot. And so I was never fully asleep, but what I like about exiting the gym after the sauna is you are sweaty. So it gives off the appearance that you, in fact, did work out, but I did not. I did probably about 4 minutes on the Stairmaster. I said, F this. I don't want to do this today. And then I realized I had not taken a day off of working out in 2 weeks because I was so paranoid about my knee injury that I overcompensate by, you know, doing arms every day or going for, or, you know, doing an elliptical or whatever I was trying to do. So I'm like, this is probably why. I probably just need a break. So,
yeah, I mean, I think that's important. Do you take breaks on the weekends?
Not especially. On Sunday, I have like an active recovery day, but I probably walked about 5 miles on Sunday. I don't know if you consider that a break.
That's walking, you know, normal. I mean, actual like, you know, exercise. I don't think walking counts. Walking is something you should do every day.
Well, right. It's still exercise. It's not high intensity or anything like that. Well, yeah. It's exercise.
Then we're talking life as exercise at this point. You have to move your legs in order to get to, you know, sometimes Johnny will do that. I'll be like, Johnny's got this lofty weight loss goal. And he's doing great, by the way. I'm very impressed with what he's done. And, I think the exercise is what kind of trips him up sometimes. And, you know, he was like, I'm going for walks. He was doing his walk things. And then whenever we do weigh in Wednesday, which will be tonight, by the way, I always go.
You weigh in as well?
No, not me. Not me. Okay. Because he's got the goal, but I'll be like, so he'll tell me what he ate, and he's like, well, I had a little hiccup here. Had a little, you know, it's the holiday. I had some Reese's Pieces for Halloween. I'm like, it's all right. It's all right. I go, but what was your physical activity like? And he'll be like, you know, I mean, I you know, mowed the grass. I walked from my car to inside the store from the parking lot. I'm like, well, that's not, and yes, technically it is. It's moving, but that's just life. I don't know if that counts. Like, I feel like you have to really break a sweat and be breathing heavy in order for it to be considered exercise. So walking.
Walking to like your car from the store, probably not. But if you're doing like five and a half miles of walking, like, pretty good. Is it high intensity? No one's saying that, but it's good, you know? But does he feel like the need to confess to you, and does he guess before he weighs in?
He is good about fessing up when he feels like he makes a mistake. See, he had I think now that he's lost so much weight, the more you lose, the harder it gets down the line. You hit plateaus, and then it's hard to kind of get over the hump on those plateaus. I mean, I've been on a plateau for a year now, so I know what that's like. It's very frustrating. So I think we, and then he goes, well, my treadmill's broken too, so I got to get that fixed. I go, oh, okay.
Right, because there's no outside, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is hot out there. I will say that. That is true. But, you know, it's just whatever you're willing to put into it. So I'll be asking him tonight what his physical activity was like, and we'll see what he says. I feel like sometimes he does try to come up with things because he knows it could be better. But, you know, well, whatever. We'll see. But yeah, walking's life. I don't know how much that counts. It was Halloween. By the way, a new video went up last night. There'll be a YouTube video up tomorrow as well that I'll do tomorrow about something. But last night was the worst costumes of 2022. And this was according to, I was hoping to find, I guess it was too soon, hoping to find some sort of actual costumes that people were out in the wild in 2022. But this was just like a 26-year-old BuzzFeed writer who said, you can't do this stuff, because she didn't really elaborate on any of these things. She just made a list of, don't do this. I can't believe I have to tell you this. What's wrong with you? And then really didn't elaborate on some of them, which obviously we know some things like, you know, blackface, you can't do. One of them, she just said, you can't. Indian headdress was one, Native American headdress, which I was like, I don't, why? And then, of course, there's no explanation for why you can't. It's just there. And then the one I found bizarre was politicians, like not to dress as politicians, even if you're making fun of them. And didn't elaborate on that at all either. But anyway, you can go check that out, willsyoutube.com, and my commentary on that. Did you get out for Halloween?
No, I handed out some candy to some children and just got absolutely, I mean, I don't want to show you because my legs are hairy, but I just got absolutely annihilated by the bugs. And this is why I love the outdoors, but I also hate the outdoors for this reason. And my boyfriend, Chris, you've met him. He, you know, kind of asked me last night if I wanted to go camping in the next couple weeks, because he's part of this fireworks club, whatever. And I'm like, you know me and the bugs, right? I can't, like, I'm so uncomfortable right now. I don't know if you have the same like blood type as I do, but when I get bit by bugs, I don't just get bit by like one. I have 30 bites right now all over my body. So, yeah, that was my Halloween, just getting annihilated by bugs.
Oh, that's pretty scary. Yeah. I had to work that night, so I didn't see any, I didn't really have any sort of official Halloween. I did go kind of walked around on Saturday night. Saturday night was when the parties happened anyway. And it's weird how like the holidays bring out the best in people. They make them, for whatever reason, maybe it's just because alcohol is going on and I don't know what exactly it is, but they're more hospitable, more friendly. And I walked by my neighbor's house who was having a Halloween party, and they just kind of waved me in. And I was like, okay. So I went and hung out with them for a little bit. Brian and Gina, very nice, beautiful home. And I couldn't stay very long because I had to work at 5 a.m. the next morning. So I was kind of stuck. But it's weird that holidays are the things that really open people up to being a neighbor, really, because I don't talk to any of my neighbors at all. In fact, there was a guy, Nolan, I think his name is. He messaged me and he was like, hey, do you run in the neighborhood around here? Named my neighborhood. And I was like, yeah, that's probably me. He goes, oh, okay. I always wanted to say what's up, but I didn't know if it was you or whatever. I'm like, yeah, you could say hello anytime. So hopefully you will next time. But apparently I have somebody who lives in my neighborhood that's, listens to the shows and stuff. So that's kind of cool. A little bit scary too. I hope Nolan's not a murderer, but I'm sure he's a great guy. He seems, he seems fine from the brief interaction I had with him. But, so it was kind of cool to link up members of my community. And I want to do that. There's a part of me that feels the need. Like I even looked up there's neighborhood associations and stuff, and you can go to meetings, which I don't know if I want to do that, but they have like porch parties and
good in theory, doesn't it?
It does.
It seems good in theory, but what you don't like about it, because it's what I don't like about it, is it seems like a bit forced, right? Like, it just seems like we wish we could go back to the time of, say, middle America 1960s, when you would just go outside of your house, say, hey, be like, oh, those are the Johnsons and those are the Petersons, and you just know each other, you grow up together. It doesn't seem so like now we have to interact with humans, so it seems like more of a like a task, like an exercise that you have to do. It seems like work because everything's just so convenient now. You just talk to your friend on the phone or text. You're like, do I really need human interaction? But the fact is you do, because I mean, even though I'm an atheist, I do think that humanity suffers when people lose like faith, family, and community, like, and all that's gone now. So I don't think that that's good for the human brain. So maybe you should take it upon yourself to kind of get involved a little bit more deeply into your community.
Yeah. Like, I wonder next time I see, I mean, I've ran into to Gina and Brian a bunch of times, you know, just because they live down the alleyway from me, and I go running in the morning. So I walk by their house all the time. I see their dog.
I'm surprised you even know their names, to be honest with you.
I know. Me too. Honestly, I'm surprised that I remember, but I do. For whatever reason, I think it was because it was such a kind of off the cuff thing. It wasn't like going to a party and meeting somebody. It was kind of just like so not expected out of my day that it stuck in my brain for some reason. But I've seen them a bunch of times, and we've always exchanged kind of like a half smile and a wave, and I keep going on my way, and they go about their business. So I wonder if that's what it's going to be like next time I see him, if it's going to be a half smile and a wave and I'll keep going, or if I'll actually have a conversation with Gina and Brian next time I pass by. I don't know.
I'm sorry. There was a knock at the door. Can I check it? It's
scary. Oh, please. Yeah. Go for it. Oh my gosh. This is unfounded. This is a scary time. It could be somebody it's probably someone dropping off an Amazon package. Let's be honest.
They don't have to knock though. I don't know. I'm not answering it. I didn't see anyone there. But sometimes
probably a package.
Yeah, but also I know I sound dumb, but sometimes when people knock on other doors, it's so loud that it feels like it's on my own. So because I live in an apartment complex. Anyways, I'm sorry. That just freaked me out. I'm also home alone. Roommate is gone to a Tony Robbins convention in West
Palm. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my Lord.
So she just left. I'm like,
My father, Tim, is a big Tony Robbins fan, and he actually went to a conference at one point and was very into it for a while, but I haven't heard him talk about it in a long time.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Tony Robbins. Like, I like what, not a big fan, like I'd go to a conference, but I've watched a lot of his stuff. I actually ran into Tony Robbins at my first concert ever in fourth grade. I went to go see 98 Degrees with both my parents and my sister. My dad spotted Tony Robbins in the crowd because he's a massive man. And he went over to him. And he's like, are you Tony Robbins? He's like, yeah. And he's like, I'm going to need a picture. So there's a picture at my house of like my parents and like Tony Robbins just towering over them. So
that's such a weird thing. Like, so he actually printed it out and he has a picture of Tony Robbins and his family in his home.
I took the picture. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he has it anymore. It's not on display because my mom's in the picture. But right. If he could like cut her out, like he certainly would display it.
Wow. That's a fascinating thing. I know that Jim Norton is really into getting pictures with people. Like whenever even if they're not on his radio show and he sees them walk by in a Sirius Studios, he runs out there and gets a picture with some.
I feel like that's most people, no? Like
I don't really know what the point of it is. Like, what do you do? Just post it on social media?
Yeah. I mean, I took this before there was social media, but my dad just thought it was cool. Like, this is a guy he'd watched on TV a bunch. He's a pretty famous guy. Wanted a picture, you know? So I don't blame him.
But who sees that and goes, I think the first question would be like, if I walked into his house, I would say, do you know Tony Robbins?
I think it's pretty obvious that, you know, they're not friends just by the way that they're kind of interacting superficially. But my dad didn't even really have it in display, like in the living room. It was just like in the office. Like he just thought it was a cool memory of the time that he ran into Tony Robbins because he tried to sneak into a better seat section and brought the whole family with him. We were jumping over the fence like migrants. And he, not kidding, like I was probably about, 12 or something, 11. And my sister, who was like 7 or something like that. Yeah. So he wanted that picture. He saw the guy and he just made it happen. So
interesting. Yeah. I mean, I guess I get it to a certain extent, but I just don't know what the long-term benefit of it is. It's just like, I saw a well-known individual out in public. Look at this.
I mean, maybe Tony Robbins isn't a good example, but like, if you saw Tom Brady and got a picture with him, wouldn't you want to print it out and put it on display? Like, you know, that's a guy he's popular, he's famous, a lot of people like him, you know. Maybe Tony Robbins, you can't really conceptualize because you're like, the guy's kind of sucks or whatever. Like, he's obnoxious, but, you know, he's famous and important to other people.
I guess so. I did that for on Facebook. I clipped a photograph of Jerry Springer and me behind Jerry Springer.
Right, there you go.
So I guess I'm guilty of this too. I guess I get it. But there was a joke, you know, that went along with the photo. So it was kind of more than just the photo. The joke was it's a one washed up talk show host and Jerry Springer.
Right.
Like, very cute, right?
That's right, a good joke. Right.
And so I got some laughy emojis on that, but that's really all I expected from it. I wouldn't display that photo, get it printed out and put it in my home or anything.
Some people aren't like you, Will. Everybody's different. I don't know what to tell you.
If only more people were like me, the world would be a much better place. Right. I can tell you that much. I saw this story here. Let me pull it up. Now we went to Johnny B's wedding shower this weekend, and one of the things I really enjoyed about the wedding shower was that the bartenders at the facility were quite attractive.
Yes, they were. I did notice that.
Yeah. And so I really got a kick out of that. And I was kind of surprised, too. It was at this place called Tiki Cove, and it was in Land O'Lakes, which I've lived here for almost 40 years now. And I don't think I've ever stopped in my car in Land O'Lakes. And I don't even know how long I've driven through Land O'Lakes, for that matter. But I was very thrilled that the bartenders there was three of them, were very attractive. And it's just not a place where you would expect necessarily for there to be, you know, attractive women. Lando Lakes at just one bar, just, or they got the lockdown on attractive bartenders. I don't know. I thought it was unusual. Maybe I'm just being ridiculous here, but are you familiar with the Tampa Bay Brewing Company, Anna?
Yes, I am.
So it is, for those of you who are not familiar with it, it's a brewery in Ybor City, and they had some heat over the weekend. The one of the owners, who is now the, I guess, stepped aside as an ownership. I don't know if they sold his shares or he's just completely out of it. His name is John Dobble. He's now the former co-owner of TBBC. He said, I guess when he was at the facility the other day, that if they hired more attractive bartenders, the place would be making more money. Now, this obviously called an uproar in 2022. Me too. You can't do that. You can't comment on a woman's looks. You're not allowed. And I thought, and what do you think? Because you're kind of this weird lady. Is there any validity to this man, John's statement that if a place has hotter bartenders, that it will make more money?
Yes. Yep. Yes, it will. It certainly won't hurt. If anything, it's a net neutral, but it certainly won't hurt.
I think that it may not necessarily make more money, but it's probably definitely true that the attractive ladies will get more tips, probably, than your average next door Jane or something. I think that's unquestionably true.
Right. And if it gets the reputation that there are attractive women behind the bar, more men will want to go spend their time there and drink as opposed to going to a different place. So if there's many options when you want to go out, but if you know a place has attractive bartenders, you're probably more likely to select that place when, you know, when it's Saturday night or Sunday and you want to watch the game.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if that's true or not. I think that there's places that I would go to no matter what. I mean, there's a few bars that I do frequent, and they're not like stocked with hot chicks or anything. But, you know, I think that that could be true. I mean, there's places like Wing House and Hooters that are known for having good wings and good looking ladies that kind of work in that place.
If I may offer some insight as someone who bartended for 6+ years, you're probably not familiar with the regular. Like, there's places you go to somewhat frequently, like that are just close to you, but you aren't someone who goes to a bar, the same bar, every day. There are people that go to a bar that they like, that's close to them, that has hot women. They go every single day, including weekends and holidays. There are people. And oftentimes, especially if it's like a, you know, a tavern or something like that, that's the bread and butter of that bar. So, you know, for you, you know, you may go to a bar because whatever, you like the drinks, you like the atmosphere, you like the ambiance, whatever. You have a girlfriend now, maybe it's like less important, whatever. But there are people who go to bars every single day because instead of hanging out in front of the TV at home, they're drinking at the bar, and oftentimes they'll come by themselves and just chat up with the bartenders. So, I mean, depending on the joint, obviously, not every bar is like a local tavern kind of deal, but there's that demo of people. And if the bartenders are attractive and just even a little bit friendly, you will pull more of those people to your bar.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I mean, I can remember there was this one bartender, and it was at a place I didn't really go to that often. It was Yard of Ale, I believe it was, if you're familiar with downtown
St. Louis. Closed down?
Yeah, I think it's gone. I think they're opening up some sort of like country bar or something in that spot. Something's going on.
So long to go out, so I don't know.
Me either. I just kind of depend on the blogs that cover the city to kind of tell me what's up. But yeah, McDinton's I think is not there anymore either. But there was a very attractive bartender at Yard of Ale that I'm a coward. So I'm not one of these be like, hey, can I get your number or something like that? I've only done that a few times in my entire life. And I had about a 50% success rate with that strategy. But there was this one bartender, and I got it too. I'm like, she's a bartender. She has to be nice to you. She's gonna, you know, she's trying to get your money in a way. She's trying to schmooze some tips out of you and probably be friendly, you know, in general too. Probably is a nice person. And she's a good looking lady, so she's probably gets dudes all the time that flirt with her and try to take her out. But I was like, this girl is just too, I have to try. I'm going to kick myself if I don't try to take a swing at this. So I got the courage, and I did. I went there every day for, I would say, a good week and have a beer, kind of make some small talk. And
by yourself?
By myself. Totally by myself. And I finally got the nerve to be like, hey, would you like to go have a drink with me sometime at a different place? I can't remember. It was some variation of that, you know. And she was like, oh, well, yeah, you know, maybe some point. Yeah, sure. And I was like, okay, great. Are you free, you know, Friday? And she was like, oh, no, I can't this weekend. I'm booked up. Okay. What about, you know, the following weekend? Oh, well, and then she said this line, which was, I don't know if it was cruel or she was just like, I don't know what to say, panic mode, or if she was trying to intentionally hurt me. But I think it was around this time of year, you know, fall time, October, November, somewhere around then. I remember wearing a light jacket, so maybe even December. And then she says, I'm fully booked until after Easter, which is months away, 4 months away. And I was like, oh, I gotcha. I was like, okay, well, I'll see you around. And I never went back again. Her name was Jackie. She worked at Yard of Vale. I don't know if she's, we were Instagram buddies, but I think she got married and deleted me from Instagram.
Did she, there was a time when I came out and we had got a drink somewhere and you said, like, that's her or something. I don't know if you're referring to
No.
But details, that was disgusting.
Blocky yeah.
Shows. I think I was like, ew.
Well, Anna, I'll tell you, I think it was, what's the dude who wrote Pretty in Pink? John Waters. Did he write Pretty in Pink? I don't know, actually. But John Waters said, you know, only ugly can be beautiful, to paraphrase. And no, this was a different one. I did like that girl, though, too. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why. I often get teased by that for that one, not only by you, but by a few of my other friends. So thank you.
She was gross.
Yeah, I don't, you know, like I said, you only ugly can be beautiful. And for whatever reason, I was smitten with her. And yeah, I mean, not my finest moment, certainly. But believe me, in my career, I've done much worse than that. I hate to tell you.
I believe you.
that you do believe. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I think it was this guy who owns the Tampa Bay Brewing Company. I think it was his father. It was kind of like a silent partner in it. So allegedly for this comment, a lot of the staff walked out in protest. And now the guy, the owner, the son, has claimed that he will no longer be involved.
What a little pee. He should just be like, are you effing kidding me? This is just owning a business 101. Like, you want people with money to come in, and that's usually men. Because that's going to be your demo. And how do you get men into a bar? Stock it with hot chicks. I mean, this is just science. I don't know. Biology. I don't understand why people are mad at this guy. Everybody knows this.
I get it. And he probably, I think the mistake was, is that he should have the next day maybe pulled his son aside and said, hey, we need to get some hot chicks in here. Because these next door Susans aren't cutting it here. We need to get some hot chicks in here. It's just business. And just explain it that way. But I think the mistake he made was saying it out loud. And that, you know, I get it. Like, if you're a bartender there and, you know, you got this old dick that's sitting around saying that you're not hot, you kind of go, well, what the hell? Screw you. So I understand the employee's point of view. I think he made the mistake of saying it out loud, and you can't say the truth out loud, unfortunately. Even though it is true, you can still, something can be true, you can still be a jerk. And I think that was the main
thing. It's uncouth, maybe. I didn't realize you said it in front of the uglier girls or guys.
Like, yeah.
And it's not like misogynistic or me too. It's just like rude. I don't know. It's not, you know, in my estimation, it's just rude. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. It is rude. I think it probably got taken as misogynistic.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, I wouldn't even be surprised if there's some sort of lawsuit that's involved in this thing. Just to, people love a quick buck, you know, and if you can get it, hey, I mean, go for it as far as I'm concerned. We got to do something about this system, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just clearly true that that's probably the case. But you know, it's 2022. You can't do that anymore. So, Tampa Bay Brewing Company, the owner's dad is out because of that one little comment. That's all it takes.
Yeah. Can we circle back to something we were kind of talking about earlier that I would like to get your take on?
Sure.
So we were talking about Tony Robbins and stuff, and I felt like when I first mentioned that my roommate was on her way down there, you kind of scoffed at the deal. How do you feel generally about the world of self-development and self-help and trying to just improve on who you are? Do you think it's a scam? Do you think that there's pieces, parts that you can take some things away from? Have you ever found yourself listening to any of these, you know, self-proclaimed self-help gurus, you know, name them if you will. I don't know, Tony Robbins. I can't think of any other like huge name. Matthew Hussey is a big one for like women and dating. But have you ever like got into a self-development type of phase where you're just kind of overindulging on this type of content? Because I know for women, I would say roughly around the age of 30, every chick I know, including myself, starts to dive headfirst into how can I like be better? How can I find a partner? How can I improve X, Y, and Z? You kind of turn the mirror inside and you're like, how can I be better? And I swear to God, this happens to every chick I know around between 26 and 32. That's when we get all into the self-development because we're sober now. College is over. You know, our peak sexual market years are coming to a close. And now we go, well, how can I be a decent human being and contribute to society?
Mm. You know, my initial reaction to that is for some reason, I kind of squint and I'm a little dubious of these people because I don't understand, you know, and maybe it's the bias of, you know, the appeal to authority and experts. And I should know better now that a lot of experts don't know what the hell they're talking about. They just have some sort of prestige from some sort of institution, like a college degree or something like that. And that makes them an expert. I mean, Thomas Sowell wrote a whole book on this that's sitting on my nightstand and it's this thick that I'll probably never read, but, Intellectuals in Society, I think it's called. And he goes into detail how these experts have caused some of the huge, huge problems in our culture, in our society and geopolitically, whatever, with wars and stuff. He talks about McNamara and the Vietnam War, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm a little, I just don't know, like, I feel like who are you to tell other people how to do things? Because, I mean, clearly they people are listening to the advice, and I guess that's good enough. And people, the market has decided that this guy knows what he's talking about, or this lady knows what they're talking about, so I'm going to, you know, vote with my cash. And I guess that's a good metric, but I am dubious of it, yeah.
Well, what about this? Do you have like a friend that you know that gives pretty decent advice? They're not accredited with any sort of degree in psychology or whatever, but you trust their judgment. They've never really steered you wrong. They say things that like a lot of times these self-development gurus aren't saying anything, you know, super profound, but almost like saying things that are obvious that just kind of you need to wake up to a little bit. So, you know, don't let a guy reject you twice or whatever, you know, that sort of thing where you're like, oh, okay, right. I shouldn't be running after men. You know better, but your emotions get the best of you. And it's kind of just a lot of the times the things that they say are just reminders of things that you kind of already know, but need to be told again. But I mean, I know plenty of people, not plenty, a handful maybe of people where I go to them for advice because A, I know they'll tell me the truth. And B, they just have historically given me like good, solid advice that makes sense. Like it has to, you can't just say it and I'm like, I'll do whatever you say. It's like they say it and I go, okay, I'm doing the science. I'm doing the math in my head. What you're saying kind of adds up. So it's kind of, I feel like it's more like that. And then it like to your point earlier, the more people that co-sign on it, you know, the more popular they get on Instagram or YouTube, then you're like, oh, this guy's got 2 million subscribers, he must know what he's talking about. Then there's those people as well. But initially, I think that they're just people who are really good at giving advice, which you don't need a degree for, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I kind of go to those. There's my friends, of course, and my family, my parents. Yeah. So I kind of still do what I want at the end of the day. But sure, you want to run things by certain people, right, and see how they react to it and see if you're feeling, if you're rational for feeling the way that you do about certain things. But to go to a guru or something like that, I just wonder, I just feel like sometimes that guru is just sitting in a fetal position in their bed, just being like, I'm such a fraud. I don't know why I see that. Maybe it's the pessimist in me.
They talk about imposter syndrome sometimes, especially the ones that are really successful. They'll say at the beginning of their career, when they were like 19, 20, giving advice to people who were like in their 40s and 50s, they're like, this seems odd. But the more experience they get under their belt, the better that they become, and the more people listen, the bigger audience, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, I mean, I think everybody suffers from imposter syndrome at least a few times in their life, but especially in the realm of giving advice, like the people that I've watched, I mean, I've watched since they were like 21. So it seemed really odd, you know, to be like taking advice from someone who's like my age or younger. But there was something, it was kind of just like a natural gift where they would read a lot of books on human dynamics or whatever. And they were just kind of repeating what they learned. And you're like, this makes sense. And then they all, and then, you know, add on to that, they're pretty good looking. Add on to that, they have a pretty charismatic delivery that becomes, you know, addictive. And you want to keep watching it. Now, to your point, I don't think I would ever spend a penny on this sort of stuff because there's so much free content online. Like, what are you doing? But I do like to watch a lot of self-development stuff as well. So,
yeah, I mean, I certainly get it. You know, maybe I just haven't gotten there at this point in my life, but I know a lot of people are into it. I mean, I was shocked when my father was expressing that he was so into Tony Robbins, and he was like amped about it for a little while, but then, you know, I never heard him talk about it after a few months. He would talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it just kind of faded away and disappeared. So, you know, I think those people are also good at knowing the psychology of human beings and how to maybe get a
manipulate. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe get, you know, market them, you know, to give them.
They're kind of cons, you know, to some degree, or they're very persuasive. They're good leaders. They're good looking. They're tall, whatever it is, you know?
Right. That's right. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not opposed to it, but that's my first inclination. Yeah. Is that they're just trying to scam you. And hey, I love a good scam. So I don't really fault them either, but I think it's just my nature to be questioning kind of everything and everybody that kind of comes across my wavelength.
That's fair. Being skeptical is always good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed. Well, I know you got to go. It's already 5:25. Is your knee better? Are you going to karate class today?
Not going to karate class today. I'll be hopefully going back next week.
All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your evening. Anything you want to say before I kick you out of here?
Nope.
Goodbye, Anna Hummel. Thanks a bunch. See you later. There she goes. All right, folks, thank you. Catch the video I did yesterday, willsyoutube.com, talking about Halloween costumes, and we'll have another one up tomorrow. I wanted to talk with Anna about Paul Pelosi, that whole incident that happened in San Francisco where an intruder got into the Pelosi household somehow. I don't know how, but maybe I'll do a video on that tomorrow. Who knows? And audio only at willspodcast.com, Spotify, iTunes, HMB Radio, Homemade Broadcast Radio, HMB Radio, all one word. And with that, I'll say goodbye to you. Thanks so much for tuning in. Go watch the old vids. Go share it. That would be very beneficial. There's something playing in the background. Oh, no. What is it? I don't know. I think it's this. It's fine. My name is Will Kuntz for Anna Hummel. Have a great night. Johnny B Show tonight at 10 on The Bone, theboneonline.com and 102.5 FM in Tampa. Goodbye.
You have found The Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.